This conference is being recorded.
Thank you for everybody coming back for part two on January 9th. With still in the preface, we just finished the paragraph, which was in italics, which is our first reference. Now we're in the next paragraph, which starts off with during the 1500s, 16th century, immediately after the last Moor, black African, was defeated in Europe. In 1492, at the beginning of the 1500s, the authorized sanctioned scholars wasted no time to remove all traces of the black African presence in the formation of Judaism and Christianity. So we're talking about 100 years that they wasted no time. After 100 years of destroying, removing, and renaming all evidence of the black African formation of Judaism and Christianity, then this laid the foundation for what would happen a century later in the 17th century, or what we call the 1600s. The first change was what we call, number one, the authorized King James Version of the Bible, written in the 1611 edition. That was the first thing that, as they said, was authorized. And when we look today at schools, the schools are what we call accredited. And then they say that they'll give you accreditation or they won't give you accreditation. Accreditation is based on you propagating the propagation of their faith. The same thing with the different churches. You can be a part of our denomination if you propagate our faith. And all of this is Eurocentric viewpoints. It doesn't matter if it's dealing with history from a history book in a public school or if it's a history that's dealing in a private school. All of those places that are accredited and colleges, that's usually what they're doing. And so that's why they can authorize them and they can sanction them and they can put their blessings on them because they're propagating what the propaganda that was created back at that time. So the second event was the official use of propaganda in 1622, 11 years after the King James Version was written. So we see that the church finally came out 11 years later saying that, yes, we do teach propaganda, and the propaganda is the propagation of the faith, and that they want everyone to agree with it. Now, the next sentence says, I hope we can see that basic information about the Bible and the origins of Judaism and Christianity have been consciously removed from our memory and hidden from us. So what they did was they wanted to make a clean slate. So the first catch would be after 1492 that they would start renaming and rewriting the books so that no one can figure it out. And then they would start renaming people and making it that everyone would quote each other. They would only quote Europeans. So if you've been sanctioned by them, you could only quote what they say. You can't quote anybody else. So that was the way to perpetuate and keep it going, so that it can be removed out of our consciousness. And like I said, it was around three generations from 1492 till we get to 1611 and 1622. 120 years of propagating or removing all evidence and then starting to propagate with the first official authorized version of the Bible. Now, many people might be saying, well, why do they have to authorize a Bible? Well, because there were many translations of what people were saying, of what the Bible was saying. So the only way that they could stop the African viewpoint or the East Indian viewpoint or the what we call the Arabian viewpoint is by making it across the board that unless it's according to the Eurocentric Catholic, Roman, and Protestant, Eurocentric viewpoint. If it isn't based on that, then it's not accepted. And so, like today with schools, most people will not send their children to a school that is non-accredited. And that's the same thing we're talking about here. Authorization and sanctionship of the teachings. Okay. Now, it says here the people who are hiding it from us, this information, are our religious leaders and government in America, Europe, and Asia. Now, even parts of Africa, people are forgetting their own tradition. And the missionaries are teaching them different things that aren't true, but propagating the faith because that's what they've been told to do. Other basic information is documented in the Bible and in this book series. As an example, most people believe that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but most do not know that Hebrew is a dialect and not a language. So, what language is Hebrew a dialect of? Another way, so, Carlton, do you know what dialect the Hebrew is part of? Now, like I said, most people don't know. And in our book, we spent a whole chapter talking about the language. This is under the language when we covered a chapter of the Canaanites. I believe that's chapter 5. But we talk about the Canaanites, and we talk about their religion. I mean, not their religion, when we talk about their language. And also, if you look up in our glossary, at the end of the book, we mention it in there of actually what it is. So we have it in a few places so that people can start thinking and start realizing what's going on.
Yeah, but you said dialect, we're talking about the specific languages that we've spoken in.
Say it again?
When we mention the word dialect, we're talking about the language that they use.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. I forgot.
I had the phone on mute, but I knew you were recording when you asked the question.
Right, I needed to define dialect.
Okay.
Now, today in America, we speak what we call English.
Right.
Okay. And then there's Ebonics. That's a version of English mixed with African language. And if you go over to Europe and you go to speak in England, where English was created, as they say, they will tell you that you speak a funny English. The American English is not a real English. It's a dialect of the English, the King's English, as they would call it.
Right.
So a dialect is not a language. It's an offshoot from the main language. And it's utilized, and people can communicate and still understand each other. But that's American English is not the real language. The real language is the King's English, or as some would say, you read the King James Bible and then you know what English is.
Okay.
So when we're talking about inside of the time of the Old Testament Bible was not written in Hebrew, because Hebrew is not a language. Hebrew is a dialect of a language. The language that is a dialect from is what we call the Canaanite language. Now, it's interesting that we should see that, but it's interesting that we can even think about that. Because when you think back, when Abraham was coming from Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible talks about, later on we'll define these Chaldeans of who they are, but in essence they're nothing but Cushites. Just their names we changed again. And so when we have Abraham coming from that land, we find out that when he goes into the land of Canaan, he's communicating with the people. And most of us don't think. The question is, for him to communicate to the Canaanites, he got to speak the same language. I mean, I don't know, you know, any Chinese that come over here, even though they have Chinese restaurants, if they can't speak Chinese, they can't sell us nothing.
That's true.
So you have to learn the language of the land that you're in. Nobody's changing theirs up for you.
The powerful statement that you put in your book, and I was thinking about that the other day, about the dialect part.
Oh, yeah, I have two sections on it. I have a whole section. One section in the book is called Hebrew, a language or a dialect. And then there's another section that's called The Great Debate over the Hebrew Dialect. So I spent a bunch of time talking about that. Then I have another section that's called The Zidonian Language. So, yeah, I spent a bunch of time because I think that is very important for us to know that.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And so when we think about Abraham and he's buying and selling, so he's speaking the Canaanite language, and he's passing that on to all of his descendants. And so that's what they're learning. Now, some might say, well, how could they understand the Canaan language? What about the Egyptians who they interacted with? Inside the back of my book, if you look on the glossary, you'll find out there that the Canaanite language is very similar to the Kemetic language or the Egyptian language. So that's why they were all able to communicate without a problem. And where you'll find out that as time went on, that the name Hebrew language moved from a language to a dialect for religious reasons. And so guess why, you know, if we think about it, it would make sense that as the Canaanites started to die out, then their language would, as they say, disappear. And then at that point, then they could say, okay, we're going to, in any dialect that was named back then, instead of us calling it a Canaanite dialect, and it's relating to the Canaanite language, then we know the Canaanites are African, or they're descendants, or classical Africans, as I refer to them in my book, that they're classical Africans. So that would mean that the Bible, the Old Testament, was written in a classical African language. So if you're recovering up everything, especially the show of how the formation and the foundation of Judaism came about, and Christianity, the first thing you had to do is take the Old Testament and say it's another language, first of all. And then once you made it a new language, then you would take the people and say that these European Jews, you would refer to them as Hebrews. So then now you would, and then let them believe that their language, that when they came from the Caucasus Mountains and the Khazars, because that's what they are, that when they took on this new religion, then they would want to actually speak that language. And that language would go back in time to the Canaanite language, and so they would say, since the Canaanite language died out, and the Aramaic language has died out today, we can safely call it the Hebrew language, and no one would ever know. And so then the European Jews, when they needed to create a language, at least something that they can say their own, then they would create they would refer to their language now as the Hebrew. And then the faith that would go with it would be the European Jews, with a religion as a European religion versus an African religion.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this where, on the subject here, is this where the philosophers like Aristotle, you know, when they were learning, is this when all this has taken place because of them?
Say that again.
Where all the Greek philosophers like Aristotle and them, is this where all that come in with them?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No, because remember, we're talking about Hebrew. Hebrew hasn't been spoken for a long time. It's when, remember, when in the 1940s, we had World War II.
Right.
World War II ended around 1945, and so at that point, they needed to give the European Jews a homeland, quote-unquote.
Okay.
So they had to rename the land of North Africa to the Middle East. They had to rename the Jews, the people that came from the Caucasus Mountains and the Khazars. They had to refer to them as the European Jews. And then they had to actually put them in a land. So the controversy was, how can you put Europeans in an African land? You can't. So first thing we have to do is say it has nothing to do with North Africa and rename the land the Middle East.
I understand that part, but I'm going back to like 70 AD. Because I'm just saying, how did they would have had to go, those philosophers would have had to learn in the universities for them to even understand.
Right, but I'm saying, okay, the things that we're talking about specifically as it relates to the European Jews and those things, a lot of that did not exist back then, because remember, these guys were just for the first time, Alexander and them were for the first time coming to universities. They didn't know nothing about no universities before they got there.
Right.
So I'm saying that some of this other stuff happened as recent. See, so when we're talking about the time of Aramaic at the time of Yeshua, which is after the Greeks.
Okay.
They were still speaking Aramaic, which was a Canaanite dialect. So all the way up until 500, all the way up until the time of the Messiah and all of them, they're still speaking Canaanite language. So that couldn't have been covered up at that point.
Right. Okay.
So if we talk about later on, the Canaanite language and the Aramaic language are both gone.
Okay.
For a long time, and you got your crusades, you got all these things going on with Rome and the rest of them, until we come up until the time of what we're talking about today, which was the end of the 1500s, when they see the Moors down there, and down for the first time. Remember, they have, because they was in the Dark Ages, they didn't know nothing about history.
Right. Okay.
So when they came down into at around 1492, in the 1500s, when they started coming down into Africa and into Egypt, for the first time, they're saying, what? What are we fighting here? So then that's when they started covering this stuff up. And that's why I said the quote that I mentioned earlier, we're talking about the 1500s.
Okay.
We're not talking about BC yet.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, so I'm just trying to get us a little clearer of where we are in time. So during this time frame, this 1500s and this propaganda started. See, this was the key that they can say, now, how do we propagate our faith? Well, we propagate our faith by rewriting everything and wiping these guys out.
Hmm.
Now, remember, when Herodias and Homer and them came to Africa and when came to Egypt, they did not try to, you know, hide that these were black people or African people. No, because they had to go there to be learned. They're not stupid. So what we're talking about is now these guys, Germans and Great Britons in the 1500s and 1600s, were saying, no, we're wiping out your stuff and we rewriting everything. So that's what we're talking about when we read about the Christian commentary.
Okay.
Christian commentaries, you're not going to find them written back at Homer's time.
Right, I got you.
Yeah, you're not going to find them back at Greek time, no. They're all in this 1500s, 1600s because of what happened since 700 to 1492.
Right.
See, I'm trying to get us to realize what time frame we're dealing with.
Okay.
Going up around this 1492, 1500s, that's when they started saying, hey, we got to start undoing everything that was done. Okay? So now, when we're talking about, and that's why that's the reason why I'm pointing back. And if you got questions, no problem to ask them because there's other people who have the same question.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so we're really talking about the 1500s and 1600s, 1700s. And when you read about Napoleon and I think that's 1798, he comes down, he takes the Pope and puts him in prison, and they coming down into Egypt and they're blowing the nose off the Sphinx because they don't want this stuff to be known that it's all African. See, so we're talking about these guys have lost all their knowledge. And they're just now re-coming to the reality that, hey, black people were running things way before you guys were existing.
All right.
And so now all they're doing is writing. Now what they're doing is See, the Greeks did change some of the stuff which they related to the history. Now we're talking about changing it as it relates to Christianity. Two different phases, two different things totally. And so they're building on what the Greeks did, but now they're going into a deeper phase to do the last cover-up. Now, remember, when did people start coming to the New World, as quote-unquote, as they say?
Well,
in the 1600s.
1600, yeah, that's Christmas. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's it, 1600s. So when we're talking about 400 years, we're talking about what, the year around 2000, right?
Right.
There we go. So that's where we find ourselves today. That's exactly the point. So for almost 400 years, our minds have been propagating their faith. And we have only one, and that's why I was saying that people only go to one school of thought, and people are only trained one way, to accept the Eurocentric viewpoint of the Bible. And that's what they restarted rewriting from the 1500s and forward, and that's all there has been at access to us. So now, getting back to the paragraph, it says, I hope we can see that basic information about the Bible and the origins of Judaism and Christianity have been consciously, and that's what you were saying, yes, consciously, purposely, removed from our conscience. And we're talking about for, at this time, 100 years. Now we're talking about for 400 years. And hidden from us. The people who are hiding it from us are our religious leaders. So when you go to the seminaries, as they say, you go to be taught to become a scholar so that you can be authorized and sanctioned. And so usually, after you graduate, they make sure that you are taught to propagate Eurocentric viewpoint. They don't let you propagate any other viewpoint. Okay? And the government in America, Europe, and Asia, the government only lets you become a C-503, and they let you become a school as long as you will follow their curriculum. And their curriculum is set up under propaganda, to propagate the faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with propagating the faith, but the question is, whose faith are you propagating? And is it truth, or is it just propaganda? And that's what's been going on. It's just propaganda. It's not truth. Other basic information is documented in the Bible and in this book series. As an example, most people believe the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That's what we were talking about earlier, the Hebrew. But most do not know that Hebrew is a dialect and not a language. And I'm glad I tried to define the word dialect, because that becomes important at this point. So what language is Hebrew a dialect of? Another way to phrase the question is, what language was the Old Testament truly written in? European, Asian, English, Canaanite, or African? Now that we've discussed it, what do you believe it was written in? The Old Testament. The language. Well, we know it can't be European. We know it can't be Asian. Now, some people will tell you it's English, because to some people, the King James Bible is the first Bible. So it was written in English, the King James, King's religion, the King's language. And that's what, you know, we've been taught. Then those who go to school and go to college, they say, no, it was written in Hebrew. Then you ask them, Hebrew is a dialect, what language was it came from? Then they don't know. Matter of fact, I remember Bobby was at a conference, and they were talking about black people. The person who was leading out, Brooks, he wrote a book on the Sabbath and Africa, the Sabbath in Africa. And so the people who were there were, quote-unquote, our black scholars. Okay? And while he was there, he asked the question, what language was Hebrew? And these are the quote-unquote PhDs in theology. Some of them might have been linguistics. I mean, this is their field. This is what they got PhDs in. And they can't answer. So that's what I'm saying. So even though you got your degree, if you said it was Canaanite, that's not propagating the faith. If you said it was African language, that's not propagating the faith. So even though you have these degrees and you've been to their schools, you only learn to propagate the faith that has been passed down, as they would say, the faith of their fathers. And the question is, whose fathers are we talking about? And so the Canaanite language is what the language was. And since the Canaanites were from Ham, he was a classical African. So then we know that the Bible was written in a classical African language. And I think he tried to share that with them. And I don't think anybody agreed with that. But I think they said they'd go home and recheck it out. But that's what we're talking about. What continent and or landmass were the first two rivers that left the Garden of Eden located?
Africa.
Okay, we have someone who says Africa, the first two rivers. That is correct. Now, you got to choose from the ones that are listed here. Europe, Asia, the America, Middle East, Mesopotamia, Africa, the land of Ham, the land of Cush, the land of Nimrod, or the land of Shinar.
I think we learned last time that the Middle East is, you know, close to where that is.
Okay.
But it's part of Africa, so it's the whole African continent. But
okay, so how many of these, out of all of these names that we got here? See, that's the key.
The Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia, okay, good. Now, remember what our question is. Who remembers our question? I mean, you can read it. It's right in front of you.
What continent of landmass were the first two rivers?
Right, not all the rivers. Not the four rivers. This is not going to pertain to the last two rivers, which is what we call the Euphrates, the Tigris and Euphrates, okay?
So
is everyone understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, this is the four rivers. The first river is called Gihon. Okay? That river is what we call in the Great Lake region. The second river is what we call, is what the Bible calls... The first river was called Pison. Not Gihon. The first river was called Pison, and that's the Great Lake regions of Africa. The second one is called Gihon, which is what we call today the what? The Nile River. That was the second one. The third one the Bible tells us is Hiddekel, which is what we refer to as the Tigris today. And the last one the Bible tells us is Euphrates. Okay, so we're only interested in finding out what continent landmass were the Pison and the Gihon. So now you got to remember, all my questions have you think, and if you have your book, you can look in there. Because it shows you the map so you can tell where these rivers are on what continent. And then I just described it to you also of where they were. I want you to think real good. Because this is a thinking class. This is having us to re-understand what we haven't been told. Now, if you look in your book, the first river is on page 24. And it's on map 1.3. Okay, so anyone who has their book, they can easily turn to it. And it's also in the children's book. Because I made sure the children got all the good information. Okay, and then the second river is found on page 27 on map 1.4. So these are the only two that we're talking about. We're not referring to on page 28, map 1.5. We're not referring to the Tigris and Euphrates. Okay, so I need you to really look at your map and then tell me
which
the first two rivers that left the Garden of Eden was located. On what continent and landmass, not just continent, because everyone will say Africa. Okay, that's fine, but that's only one. I have a list up here, because what I'm trying to get you to do is trying to understand geography, okay? Ancient geography, because as you read the Bible, there's three important questions. I know I've mentioned this to you before, that you have to always remember when you're studying. Who are the people? What time frame? And where are they located on the planet? Their geography. And so I have to make sure that we are looking at those three points. They're the most important things to help keep you in perspective. And if you only look at one or two of them and not all three, then you can usually miss the boat. Okay, so back to my question. Now remember, all my questions aren't easy. It's just having you think, because the Bible says for us to study to show ourselves approved. And the only way that we can understand if we studied is for us to be what? Quiz, right?
Right.
All right. Because then you know. And if you don't know, then we go back and we try to understand it. Because the whole thing is to build on one thing on the other. Okay. Now, if we have you all to tell us, it sounds like more people got online with us or is on the phone with us. And y'all see the list. Europe, Asia, the Americas, Middle East, Mesopotamia, Africa, the land of Ham, the land of Cush, the land of Nimrod, or the land of Shinar. Now, first of all, you got to know where all of these lands are. If you don't know where all these lands are, you can't really answer the question.
I thought the land of Nimrod was the same as the Middle East.
Okay. Yep, if you looked on your map, 1.5, it tells you. So 1.5, that's what it's called, the land of Nimrod.
Right.
Mhm. Yeah. So now you can use your Bible. I mean, you can use your book, because it's this is geography, and I want you to be able to grasp the thought. Okay. So back to the question. Can you tell me which continent and land masses that are listed contain the first two rivers? Now, most of you are only taught, if you've been reading your books, not my book, if you've been reading other books, all of them are going to tell you the Tigris and Euphrates. They're going to tell you Mesopotamia. They're going to tell you Babylon. They're going to tell you Iran, Iraq. That's what they're going to tell you. But that is not where the first two rivers that left the Garden of Eden were.
Ethiopia.
Okay, but Ethiopia is not one of them on the list.
Oh, sorry. But that's the landmass.
Yes, that is the landmass. You are correct. Now, what landmass refers to Ethiopia?
I said it's the land of Ham, the land of Cush.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'm not on the page. Okay.
Okay, good. So you got two of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So also the question of Africa, because it's on the continent of Africa.
What did you say the last one?
It would be Africa, because it's on the continent of Africa.
That's correct.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else? I heard her doing most of the speaking. Anyone else? How many people we got back there?
Oh, man. We got full house now.
That's what I figured, so I need to hear some full house answers.
Hi, Jimmy.
The continent is Africa, and the land is
okay. Good. How many more people we got back there that hasn't said nothing yet?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4.
I said the land of Kush, the land of Ham, and the Middle East.
But he said specifically the first two, right?
That's what the line said. That's why I have it on the book. I'm having y'all read it. It says where the first two rivers are located. Now, what we can do, I know you got to have time to think about it. Is that right?
Okay.
And discuss it amongst yourselves.
My daughter said she thought it was the land of Cush, not the land of Ham.
Okay. Does everyone else who has an answer, do you need time to think about it and discuss it amongst yourselves? Do you? If you do, just let me know, because I want to pause it. I want to pause the recording if that's what we're going to do.
What was the question for me?
My question was, do y'all need a chance to discuss it and think about it to answer the question without, you know, guessing? And to look at the maps and give you a few minutes.
Yes.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop the recording at this time, and then we'll get back together. You have, what, 3:09?
Yes.
Okay, let's get back together at 3:15. No, y'all can discuss it on your own. What we're going to do, some people might need to get some water, might use the bathroom, something, and then we'll get right back. You can stay on the line, or you can get off.
Okay.